Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Is it time to talk about the connection between Harvey and climate change? After all, a new analysis from the University of Wisconsin says Harvey is a 1-in-1,000-year flood event. Let's ask Kerry Emanuel. He's professor of atmospheric science at MIT. Professor, welcome.
Nice to be here.
And is there something about Harvey that we can attribute to climate change at this point?
Well, there are a couple of things. Its surge was a little bit higher simply because it was riding on top of an elevated sea level. Fortunately, the surge went into a very unpopulated part of Texas, so we don't hear much about it. The other thing is that the atmosphere is about 6% more humid than it would have been at that time of year at that place, say in 1980, because it's warmer. And those are the two things that we can be fairly certain about.
What about the fact that it stalled over Texas for so long?
Well, the fact that it stalled is really the reason why we had such a colossally unusual event. And it stalled because the steering winds gave out. They were forecast to. But what we don't know is whether this is something that we expect to see as a consequence of climate change going forward. We just haven't really done the research to figure that one out. It might have just been a random occurrence. It might have been made more or even less probable by climate change. These are questions we'd like to know the answers to.
When you look at this and put it together with some of the other superstorms that we've seen, it does feel like we're seeing a lot of 1 in 100 years or 1 in 500 year storms over and over again. Is that just a coincidence or is that climate change?
Well, there are two aspects to this. I mean, if you're living in Texas and your house is hit by a tornado, it's a 1 in a million year event. If somewhere else in Texas next year, somebody else's house gets hit, that's a 1 in a million year event. So you've had 2 in a row. Well, that's just not thinking about it correctly. But let's be serious about this. We have seen a string of different records. For example, Typhoon Haiyan in 2013 and Eastern Pacific Patricia of 2015 both broke all-time records for the most intense tropical cyclones. Sandy was the largest in diameter ever observed in the North Atlantic. Katrina of 2005 had the largest surge ever recorded in the United States. And now we have Harvey with the largest rainfall ever recorded in a hurricane in the United States. So one begins to wonder when you have these different metrics being broken all in the last few years, whether we're seeing something. Now, it is, some of it is consistent with our expectations. We have long predicted that global warming would allow hurricanes to become more intense and their surges higher, and also long predicted that they would produce more rain.
Well, earlier this week, we spoke with Texas Congressman Pete Olson, who's a Republican, about his Houston area district, which is dealing with Harvey. And I asked him about something he had done just a few months ago. He had praised President Trump's decision to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords. And we asked him if Harvey had changed his mind at all.
The strongest, worst hurricane to hit Texas happened in 1900. Galveston hurricane killed 8,000 people. But this is not the proper place to have the debate on climate change, Paris Accords. This right now, my only focus is Hurricane Harvey.
Okay, so understandable that his focus right now would be Hurricane Harvey. But what about that point that this is not the time to talk about climate change? What do you think we're losing by not having a debate about climate change when we see a huge storm like this?
Well, I think it's very natural whenever you have an extreme event, people want to know what caused it. And back in the 80s, any of these events would have been blamed on El Nino. So one has to be careful. You can't jump to the conclusion that it's because of climate change. But on the other hand, you can embrace the opposite fallacy that there's nothing to see here. As a scientist, you have to sort of look at the facts, try to understand how climate change is warping the probability of these events. The congressman mentioned the Galveston hurricane of 1900. It wasn't that extreme an event as far as a natural phenomenon, but there was no warning of it. We didn't have good forecasts back in those days, and that's why it killed so many people.
If we were having a debate about climate change right now because of what we've just seen with Harvey and some of the other major storms. What do you think we would be doing to prepare for future storms?
Well, my community of scientists who study the relationship between hurricanes and climate have been coming together with a consensus on a few things we know. There's a lot that we don't know, but one is that storms will rain a lot more as it gets warmer. The other is that surges will be larger because storms will get a bit more intense and because sea level's going up. So every community has to tackle this on its own because every community will be affected differently. So here in Boston, we're actually beginning to contemplate building a seawall across the inner part of Boston Harbor. In other places, it makes sense to talk about vertical evacuation, getting people up inside tall buildings. Every place has its own sort of optimal solution. The point is, we all, as communities, ought to be talking about this.
That's Kerry Emanuel, a professor of atmospheric science at MIT. Professor Emanuel, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And send us your thoughts on this at hereandnow.org.